Blog Talk Radio.
Time to elaborate. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the backyard. This is your host, Margaret Marshall, and I want to welcome all our callers and online and calling in on the board this evening. I thank you for being here. I know if you are a Dancing with the Star fan or some other television show, you could be doing that. So I'm really honored that you're joining me in the backyard. And tonight we have a very interesting topic, which I hope you will enjoy, as I've enjoyed researching it. Anyhow, before we really start, I would like to take this opportunity to mention that our honored guest last week, the Honorable Sir Rex Nettleford, lost his mother during this week. On behalf of the Backyard Labrish fans and friends and staff, I'd like to extend my condolences and to really thank him for being so gracious, because his mother was quite ill when he took the time to visit us here in Atlanta and devote some time to his passion. Now, with that said, I am sure that his mother must have been quite a senior citizen and lived a long life. And I thought it was so great that perhaps she lived to see her child, her son, really giving so much, not just to the culture of Jamaica, but to the entire world. So I may she rest in peace, and I know that she passed away a very proud mother. And that is such a privilege, because so many mothers never live long enough to see their children blossom into something as great as Professor Rex Nettleford is, not even to see them graduate from high school. So she was very privileged, because her legacy will certainly go on for generations. So I'm sure our listeners will join me in sending their condolences to Professor Nettleford. So with that said, we're going to go right into our subject for this week. And I would like any of our callers online, anytime you would like to join the Labrish, just hit 1 on your telephone. And for those of you listening online, in order to interact with us and give us your 2 cents on what we're talking about tonight, please dial give my telephone number instead of the number of the call-in. It is 718-766-4558. That's the call-in number. And if you would like to make a comment, give us some feedback, or join the Labrish, you hit 1 on your telephone, and I will see a raised hand, just like you were in school. Then I'll open up the mic, and you can certainly join the Labrish. So I welcome all everybody who would like to say something this evening. So if you were on our mailing list, I'm sure you got the promo about what we're discussing this evening. And that is the honor that Jamaica really had. My board just went black, so bear with me here. I'm sure I'm still broadcasting. But we're still in some bad weather. I'm broadcasting from Georgia. And if you've been watching television, you know that we've been having some real bad weather. A lot of parts of our city is without electricity. All of a sudden, my board went black. I think it's coming back. So please bear with me. No, I lost everything. I am hoping that I'm still broadcasting. Oh, here, okay, I got it back. So as I was saying, I have a raised hands, and I'm going to open the mic. Good evening. This is Welcome to the Backyard. This is Margaret. Who do we have?
You got Lay in the Bronx.
Oh, home of they?
New York Yankees, of course.
Okay, I suppose they're not winning because you're not.
Are you kidding? You haven't been listening to baseball.
No, I don't.
They are for the umpteenth time in the playoffs.
Oh, wow.
Already.
Oh, well, aren't you lucky? Anyway, as I was saying,
no, I just wanted to acknowledge that we can still hear you loud and clear.
Oh, great, great, because my board goes black sometimes and I can't see anybody or anything, so I'm just shooting off at the mouth here.
Now, how is the storm doing, the rains and the bad weather doing?
Well, actually, it has tamed down a bit, but we're expecting some more weather on Thursday. And, you know, just more things are turning up, more people are turning up dead. We now have 10, and, I mean, it's in the metropolitan area, sort of. You know, it's all cities.
Yeah, we heard this morning a dreadful episode of a woman in a car.
Oh, yes, we have several women in cars, people just going home from work, their normal route that they take. And all of a sudden, you know, there's one young man who, that is so sad, because he was talking to his girlfriend when he went through the water, and then he couldn't get out of his car, and he spoke to her to the last moment.
Oh, yes.
I mean, and he's a young man, you know, it's just been devastating, really. Children, people, families losing their children, holding on to them and not able to hold. So you know how painful that is.
Oh, well, we hope your equipment don't get wet.
Well, I have a girlfriend who was on vacation, and she got back, and everything she had in her basement, and she's a photographer and has computers and all sorts of things, is just gone. I mean, it's just been devastating. And a lot of our citizens don't have flood insurance because they don't live in a floodplain, really. It's, you know, it's just one of those things, and you know the insurance companies, they'll try to get out of paying anybody. But thank you for your best wishes, and we've been getting calls from all over, just people being concerned, and we appreciate that. Now, I want to talk about our topic, which is Jamaica being the third happiest nation on earth. And before we go into all of this, I thought it was interesting to find out, you know, who's doing the research and what is it based on. So I would have wanted to give you a little information before we start going into how Jamaica was selected. And I want to thank, you know, our listeners and the people who send us email and you, our fan from the Bronx. I know you got it from one of your friends who also mailed it on to me. But we really appreciate all this feedback we're getting, and we really ask you to continue to support us by sending us the news even before we can reach it. So let me tell you what Wikipedia says about this Happy Planet Index, which is short HPI, it's called. It is an index of human well-being and environmental impact that was introduced by the New Economics Foundation, NEF, in July 2006. I think it's a British company that started this. And actually, the index is designed to challenge well-established insights of countries' development, such as gross domestic product and the Human Development Index, and they have the acronym for all of that, which are seen as not taking substantiable into account, sustainability into account. In particular, GDP, which is gross domestic product. This is not supposed to be, this is seen as inappropriate in terms of this index. It's not based on the gross domestic product at all, which is usually what they take into consideration when they're trying to, you know, come up with what's good and what's bad. Now, the whole objective of this is to make nations more aware of the impact they're having on the environment itself and how their people within that country, you know, how they're able to live and exist without infringing too much on the environment and also other countries. So it's sort of a complex ways that they get all of this data and come up with this, with the top countries. So sheds a little more light on, you know, how they come up with it. Leigh, did you do any research on this?
No, I didn't. But it sounds, I mean, this is leading into like an economic discussion. I mean, when you start to discuss GDP, rather than, you know, a social sort of thing, when if a nation is happy, when you really start to think about this concept of a nation being happy, it does bring in your economic resources, how people feel about themselves, and how government utilizes, the production of their peoples.
Right, right. Well, that what they're saying here is that they did not take the GPD, the GDP,
mm-hmm.
as a factor.
Okay, all right.
It was not considered a factor in this. It is not in this particular index.
Okay, then we're happy about that.
Right, right. That's why I wanted to make sure that I pointed that out.
Mm-hmm.
It is seen as inappropriate, as the usual. Ultimate aim of most people is not to be rich, but to be happy and healthy.
Well, yes.
So most people, not everybody, but most people all over the world, their aim is not to be rich, really, but to be happy and healthy. Furthermore, it says, it is believed that the notion of sustainable development requires a measure of the environmental cost of pursuing those goals. So, in other words, they're trying to bring more attention to the developed countries that they are damaging the environment, number one, and infringing on other countries, number two, you know, in order to for them to be more productive and happy. And blah, blah, blah. So that is the principles involved in this Happy Planet Index.
Well,
and,
you know, I'd be more content being in a country like Jamaica and be happy just sitting under a coconut tree drinking coconut water.
Right. That's what I mean. You know, that, and there are other countries where the general feeling is to be happy, you have to have a lot of artificial things around,
correct,
which in the manufacturing of those things, it damages the environment.
Yeah.
So that makes sense, right?
Oh, yeah.
So they say the HPI, which is what they're called, the Happy Planet Index, is based on the principles that most people want to live long and fulfilling lives, and the country which is doing the best is the one that allows its citizens to do so whilst avoiding infringing on the opportunity of future people, the future generation. You know, they're not plundering the earth. And people in other countries to do the same. In effect, it operationalizes, O-P-E-R-A-T-I-O-N-A-L-I-S-E-S, operationalizes the IUCN's, which is the World Conservation Union's call for a metric capable of measuring the production of human well-being, not necessarily material goods, and how much you extract from nature. So that it's very complicated how they come up, you know, with the index itself. Human well-being is operationalized as happy life years, the amount of years you spend happy. So that's why life expectancy is important. And I'll read what the Jamaican version of it is, you know, how they came up with them being third in a minute. But
thank
I just wanted our listeners to have an idea of how the index operates.
Well, as you're talking, I'm just thinking that as a senior, you know, it doesn't really matter to me personally, material to be very interested in material things at this point in time. I just want to be happy.
Right.
So
right.
I guess they have to come up with an index for seniors, particularly.
Well, if you're living in a country where the index is high, you know, for happiness, then I suppose it would work.
Fine.
We need to move to Costa Rica.
Yeah, well, sure. I say amen to that.
Now, listen, this is interesting. It says, as such, you know, after explaining all of that, the HPI is not a measure of which are the happiest countries in the world. It's not really a measure of that.
Uh-huh.
It's countries with relatively high levels of life satisfaction as measured in surveys. We found from the very top, Colombia in second place, to the very bottom, the U.S. in 150th place, of a rank of order. In other words, it, you know, it fluctuates all over the place.
Yeah.
The HIP is best conceived as a measure of the environmental effect of supporting well-being in a given country. You understand, it's not necessarily that the people, everybody there is happy, but this index is based on the measure of the environmental effect of supporting well-being in a given country. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does.
Okay. Such efficiency could emerge in a country with a medium environmental impact, like Costa Rica, and a very high well-being, Panama, but it could also emerge in a country with only mediocre well-being, but very low environmental impact. And they made a reference to Vietnam.
Well, I was thinking China. I was thinking China as you're talking, but Vietnam, sure.
Right. So that brings me to, I suppose, how Jamaica was selected. And I'm going to read the article that you sent me, Leigh.
Okay.
It says, despite poverty and violence, Jamaica has been ranked the third happiest country in the world. Factors considered were average life expectancy, environmental conservation, and professional child delivery and birth weights. Isn't that interesting? Jamaica is third happiest nation on earth. Jamaica has moved from, it was really 54, they have 50th place, but with Wikipedia said there were 54 last year, or the last time the survey, the index was done. No, in the last 3 years, yes, it's done every 4 years. To be ranked the third this year is quite, you know, an upgrade, is the whole point here. And this index is published by Britain's New Economic Foundation. Jamaica was placed 53rd on the list in an index of human well-being and environmental impact when it was first published in July of 2006. It moved up to third behind regional country Costa Rica, number one, and the Dominican Republic, number two, in the second report made public this Saturday, which is recently. The performance of the top three countries were indicative of the Central and South American region, which ended up with 9 out of the 10 places, with Brazil, Cuba, Guatemala, Colombia, El Salvador, and Honduras also included in the top 10. Cuba was ranked number 7. The report said that Jamaica's appearance in the top 3 on the list came somewhat as a surprise. It is fair to say that the country has been in some economic trouble for over 30 years, resulting in high levels of inadequacy and unemployment and some of the highest homicide rates in the world. And yet, despite these problems, the island is able to maintain some of the best levels of health. This is very interesting. In the developing world, as indicated by its high average life expectancy, together with its very small ecological footprint, it is this which puts Jamaica towards the top of the HPI table, the report stated. Because actually, this is my input now, they're measuring, you know, what you take away from the environment to produce long life and you know, increased birth weight. Because a lot of the, it's me again, a lot of the third world countries have a problem with their babies being terribly underweight. And, of course, that undermines long life when you don't have the foundation, you know, for long life then. So you can throw any input there, Lay?
Well,
that makes sense, doesn't it?
It makes sense, but it doesn't say much about what people eat. I mean, I'm just thinking straight off yam, you know.
This is what I mean. It's going to bring me back to that.
Yeah.
Because they're talking about the birth weight and how long people live.
Yeah.
Obviously, it's because the mothers delivering these babies perhaps have a better diet than in a lot of other countries. And there you know that it's the grown provisions.
Well, you know, this we're treading on delicate ground here because we, quote unquote, we that are looking into Jamaica and their diet and stuff like that. We have a lot to be critical about when you summarize what they eat. But the result of what they eat is of course, what you're really saying. That.
Oh, yes, but it's not me saying it. It's the index people.
Yeah, but I'm saying that, I mean, we might be critical of too much carbohydrates, this, that,
right,
and the other. But what it's producing is
healthier babies.
Healthier babies. So look.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know about if anybody, you know, goes back like me, but in growing up in Jamaica, I don't remember a lot of overweight people at all. As a matter of fact, everybody in Kingston always talk about Miss Woodbine. Anybody remember that name? Because she was the the heaviest person around in those days.
Big, fat, like Miss Woodbine.
Right. So they would always refer to Miss Woodbine. It's almost like when they say when the fat lady sings. But everybody would, if they, you know, talk about Woodbine as if she. There were very few, not a lot of overweight people at all that I can remember.
And
they've always eaten a lot of carbohydrates.
And I'm just thinking of, you know, trying to picture all the fellas, the youngsters that went to school with me, with us. You know, you didn't have any real tubby youngsters, you know, that were busting out. They all looked very healthy.
Right.
Skinny type.
I can remember that.
You know, so.
They were all sort of skinny, but healthy. Now, it goes on to say, this report goes on to say, it also says that despite high Jamaica is able to ensure that few people fall in the most extreme poverty bracket.
Right.
The proportion of people living on under $1 a day is less than in rich countries, such as Argentina and Turkey and different places.
Wow.
The report says that Costa Rica's high level of reported life satisfaction and happy life years made it stand out. This is no matter of chance. Costa Rica is a haven of democracy and peace in turbulent Central America. It has taken very deliberate steps to reduce its environmental impact, the report stated, while noting that Costa Rica has the fifth lowest human poverty index in the developing countries, in developing world. Interesting. The Dominican Republic has a medium score in the human development index. It depends on the United States for trade and has high levels of inadequacies. But the report said that, unlike many of its neighbors, it managed to achieve a life expectancy of over 70 years. Oops. And a very small environmental footprint, which means that it's not taking away a lot from the planet. You know, it's not polluting a lot.
Yeah,
rich developed nations fared poorly.
Yeah.
The highest placed Western nation was the Netherlands at 43. The United Kingdom was at 74th, well behind Germany and France, but ahead of Japan and Ireland. The U.S. fared particularly poorly at 114th of the 143 countries surveyed. Does that say anything to you? The index attempts to measure how well countries use their resources to deliver long lives, greater physical well-being, and satisfaction for their population. The report sets out a happy planet charter calling for an unprecedented collective global effort to develop a new narrative of human progress, encourage good lives that do not cost the earth, and reduce consumption in the highest consuming nations. It also calls on governments to measure people's well-being and environmental impact consistently and regularly and develop a framework to achieve sustainable well-being. So that is more or less the goals. And the one of the reasons they're doing this index. But again, I see I have a raised hand at 631-472, and I'm going to open the mic to you. Welcome to the Labrish. This is Margaret. Who do I have?
Paulette.
Well, hi, Paulette. Welcome to the backyard.
Oh, thank you. I came in at the point where you're talking about the kids who were not heavy in Jamaica. You didn't see too many heavy kids, or we didn't have too many heavy kids during our time.
Right.
And I want to agree with you, and I feel the reason for that is because even if the kids were eating a lot of carbohydrates, there were other factors that kept them fit. They ate a lot of fruits.
Mm-hmm.
They drank water all day long.
Yes.
And they did a lot of walking. Very few families could afford motor cars.
Right.
The kids were doing a lot of walking, and they were also playing.
Outside.
You didn't have television. And you didn't have these games, the Pac-Man and all those. Kids played.
Yes, yes, yes.
So, you know, that could contribute to the fitness of kids then. And, you know, there weren't too many obese kids in our time.
Right.
I think their diet was very healthy, although they were eating a lot of carbohydrates. They were burning that up.
Well said, well said.
I call it.
Hi, Lee.
Yeah, and your mom always said you better eat your veggies. So
you better eat your vegetables. We were eating callaloo before we knew it was so healthy.
So
right.
You're absolutely right when you come down to it.
Yes.
We were ahead of the curve.
Exactly, and everything was fresh.
And this is why my grandmother could claim that. For instance, she's looking at my generation. She said that that she lived that long because she was eating the right things.
Exactly. And if you think in our time in Jamaica, the kids, instead of eating sweets, they would eat a banana.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
They had a mango. They had June plum. They you name the fruits. They had and not just one fruit we were eating per day.
Right.
Well,
right.
We were so bogged down with the talking about the sweets, the what you call that jawbone thing.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, one of those will last you for a whole day too. what was the name of that?
Jawbone.
Yes.
Jawbone. Oh, I thought it was bus major. That's another
well,
one.
Even if it's bus major,
you have that too.
Yeah. I mean, you don't run from one thing to the next. You deal with that for a good while.
Right. On that point, I want to make an observation now. Even in those days, even the sweet things were made with healthy things.
Exactly.
In today it's not being made with healthy things. Most of the color is artificial colors that they're using. So back to the birth rate thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if birth rate is a measure that is used for life expectancy, obviously the mothers, even though they might be not considered wealthy, they're poor, you know, in poor circumstances or in poor countries, but if they're eating healthy things, their babies are going to be healthier.
Absolutely.
Than in the developed countries where they're eating perhaps what would be considered a more of a variety of healthy things, but a lot of that is made with artificial things.
Correct.
You know, I'm just thinking, when I am in Jamaica and I'm reading The Gleaner, there is a whole page devoted to, almost every day, a whole page is devoted to diets and food and how you prepare the foods,
mm-hmm.
and on the weekends you a whole section.
Right.
So somebody's consciously, promoting good results for the kids and for the people. So.
Well, one thing I know that the report states here, you know, that they commend the governments of these countries for promoting certain things. First of all. You would be surprised, but I was surprised that it said in the countries that were selected, nobody falls below a certain poverty level somehow as compared to other countries.
Well, mm-hmm. That is a little bit, you'd have to go into more detail on that because when you're talking about poverty levels. That's a whole can of worms. That
well, this is one of the things that they that they mentioned. The index mentioned
I understand, but to me that is so suspect, because you wouldn't say that the poverty level in Jamaica is above most of the countries that you mentioned.
Oh yes, according to them, it is. It's a, it's above Turkey. It's above people that are poor in Argentina. It says it here.
See, well, for me, this is hard to believe. I would have to see how they compile these statistics.
Well, actually, another thing you must remember, that perhaps people in Turkey can't go in the backyard and pick something and eat it.
I agree with that.
So they wouldn't be as hungry. A Jamaican would not be as hungry as someone in Turkey.
Well,
so because even if it's not his mango tree, he can get a mango.
Well, that's true in one respect. Turkey is also a country that produces a lot from the soil, but maybe not as many things across the board as Jamaica. Jamaica has a lot of. I always said that a Jamaican really shouldn't go hungry.
Right.
You know, because you mentioned your backyard, little garden,
mm-hmm.
but what's available to you is a substantial amount of and a variety of things you go down to the market and get. And until recently, those things were quite reasonable to purchase.
And I think Jamaicans on a whole eat more vegetables and fruits on a daily basis. Than in other. I mean, when you think of your what you ate growing up, and even when you visit, even in the hotels now,
they have
the variety of the, they have the bok choy and they have the kalaloo.
Yes.
We do eat more vegetables and more fruits on a daily basis.
Yes, that is true.
And another thing that I think is important is because of the island being so small, it does not require as much processing and refrigeration and shipping and, you know, getting from one place on the island to the next.
Well,
so that I think that people are eating fresher stuff.
Yes, and the fish, when you think of, they can go to the beach and get the, meet the fisherman and get the fresh fish.
That's right. So you know, part of what they mentioned that they took into consideration is how the country can sustain, you know, without too much damage to the environment and to future generations of that same country. So it's sustainable well-being is what is really being measured. And with that, I am hoping that the governments of these countries that are in the top 10 will become aware of the importance of retaining that, where they don't allow, whether it's the natives or foreigners, or, you know, for their land to be plundered where it's damaging the environment.
Well, tell that to the real estate people that come in and chop down the trees, and they, impinges on some of the fruits that we know. And
well, you know, Kingston, I was speaking to one of my girlfriends in Canada who was born and raised in Kingston like me, and some things we can remember being flourishing in Kingston isn't there anymore.
That's correct.
Mm-hmm.
And not just Kingston, a lot of developments that we don't even know anymore.
Mm-hmm.
The trees and the fruits and the whatever are all gone.
Right. But I think what is the goal of this index that was organized is to help bring to the forefront or in the consciousness of people everywhere about, if you're going to have sustainable good life, you have to now look at things a different way in terms of well-being, in terms of being happy. You know, do you want to be rich and have the biggest house that can be built and have it, you know, packed of things that you perhaps never use? Or do you want to be in a country or in an area where the air is fresher, the soil is richer, and certain things, and you are happy with less? That's what they're trying to do.
Well, you know, I don't know if you heard any of the speeches, and more importantly, the speech of the president today. But some of the things that we're talking about, he touched on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, as far as the environment and the product of a good environment,
mm-hmm.
and stuff like that. So this is what we're talking about.
Definitely. So, you know, we're, as usual, in the backyard, we are always hip, even though this is a senior, and we're a bunch of old fogies, but we're here. We're with it. Even when we don't know where with it.
Talk for yourself. I don't think Paula qualifies for that.
Paula, you might. That's interesting. But, you know what I mean? Because I just selected this on a whim. And so that it fits in with the buzz of the, you know, what's going on now in the talk. But, you know, if more people start talking about it and become aware of it, I think it's going to eventually catch on that people know that they cannot continue to plunder. I mean, even though we are not going to be here forever, but we need to leave a footprint. That's the whole thing this is. You know, you need to not use up everything before you go. That's what they're trying to ignite, bring into the consciousness that happiness is not necessarily measured by things. I think that's sort of the basis on how you acquire those things. If you acquire those things by plundering another country, it's not good for the whole world.
Well, if I say in Jamaica, no problem, man.
Right.
That's a happiness slogan, if you ask me.
Right,
As opposed to like Hawaii has aloha.
Mm-hmm.
New York, I love New York. I mean, you know, you can't love a place if you're going to plunder it or see that the environment, you can't breathe the air and all of this, so. Everybody has to strive for, you know, a better life in that respect.
And I believe that everybody has a responsibility to themselves, not necessarily to anybody else. Because
to themselves and to their grandchildren, of course.
Right. Well, it's not everybody that have grandchildren, you know that. But I mean, it's a responsibility, and more organizations are trying to sort of stimulate that kind of thinking, because for quite a while it's just, you know, how many toys you can acquire before you go, and I don't see anybody carrying their toys with them. You know what I mean?
Yes.
And a lot of times in acquiring those toys, whatever the toys are, it is hurting another country, another economy, another ecology. You know, it's you got to think of the damage. So the bottom line is this index is always going to be measuring sustainable life. I mean, how it can sustain happiness, what the country is doing for itself. So I'm very proud of Jamaica to come up from in the 50s to 3. That is a big jump. Don't you agree?
I agree.
I wonder if the people in Jamaica are aware of their position in this.
Well, I am hoping that somebody listening to this show will make a big deal of it in Jamaica. And because, you know, the more people spread the word of what happiness really is, because I don't think some people even define it for themselves. And we're talking about sustainable well-being, you know, not just being in a happy mood now and then, because we all go there and we all, you know, go the other place too. However, I mean, to sustain well-being and happiness, it takes certain elements, and it doesn't. Is a lot of times it has to do with the environment, because you know, even if you're in a well-ventilated and an elaborate place, if you have to stay inside all the time because the air outside is polluted, you're not going to be happy. So all of this might bring to us, you know, to define for ourselves what happiness really means. What does happiness mean to you? And I challenge my listeners to start spending a few moments with themselves and asking themselves that question.
Let's hear from some people there.
Yes, I see some people on the board. Mm-hmm. And I, you know, at that point, I want to talk about the mindset of some of the Jamaicans, at least when I was growing up there. And I heard someone mention something to me when we were discussing that just casually, and I thought it was so great. You know what they said? They said they remember that, first of all, you know, the people in Jamaica are such entrepreneurs. They can make a business out of anything. But I remember this person saying that the handcart man, when he was pushing his handcart down the road, was CEO of his handcart. Wow, that is a very deep.
I'm laughing, but I never looked at it that way. But
I mean,
nobody can touch this guy skating down the street there. Yeah.
Right, because when I look back, his head was held high, and you don't come near his handcart with any, you know, bad vibes, because that was his, you know, his penthouse thingy. I mean, his successful business. He was a businessman pushing his handcart, or the person with the basket on their head is a CEO of her enterprise or his enterprise. So it's that feeling of well-being, of pride, of accomplishment. You know, that's all part of happiness. But I'm wondering if people are really in the moment.
Well, you know what? There's one thing also, you know, in Jamaica they have the sunshine.
Mm-hmm.
Most time is sunshine, and it's a fact that when you are in the sun, You are happy. When people are in the dark, they are depressed.
Oh, that's true.
Point well taken, yeah.
Yes, depressed. That is true. Mm-hmm.
So you don't, they, you know, they're in the sun. They're walking up and down in the sun. They spend most of their time out in the sun. They're happy people.
And not only that, when they want a shade, there's usually a tree. They don't even need an umbrella.
Exactly.
They don't own an umbrella. They can find a tree.
You know,
so
over
they get in the sun even indirectly, you know.
Right.
Funny
is it, you know, I know people that try to live in a place like the United States, and in no time they went back to the island because of the constrictions that you have here during the changes of the season. Now, I mean, I've grown accustomed to having four seasons a year rather than just one thing, but you're right about the sunlight and the freedom that you have walking around in a place like Jamaica, and that contributes, of course, to a person's well-being and happiness.
Besides the health, because you know the sun supplies vitamin D that you don't get anywhere else.
My doctor said I better get some more out right now as we speak.
Right. Vitamin D has been found to be very important for health, you know. So to be healthy, you need some sunlight. You just have to make sure you protect your skin from the ultraviolet rays.
Absolutely.
You know, everybody needs some sunshine, because not only that, it really brightens your spirit, you know, when you're in the sunshine, as you mentioned, Paulette, as compared to being in the dark during the winter months, or, you know, if you are at a part of the world where you don't have a lot of sunshine.
But even sometimes in the summer here and in the spring, people don't go outside. They're inside the house.
They don't appreciate it.
Yes.
And as I said before, you know, I challenge people to think about, you know, what makes them happy. You know, am I moving towards the things that really make me happy? You know, you have to define it for yourself first before you know whether you are doing more of those things. You know what I mean? Because a lot of people believe that it's by acquiring things or being at a special place or so. And as it says here, you know, people in what would be considered poorer countries are a lot happier.
Yes.
Just with their lives. But I remember when I moved back to Jamaica in the 70s, I lived in Kingston and, you know, was putting up a house in Montego Bay, and I would go back and forth. And having been away from Jamaica for so long, I was so intrigued as I went through some of these small towns, you know, where they have one main shop in the square,
mm-hmm.
and they would have the reggae music going on. And the children, that were off from school or if it was weekend or so, the children were over there, holes in the pants, no shoes, and they just dancing to the music. Just dancing. You know what I mean? Because the music was playing. In those days, they didn't have a lot of the things that they have now. I suppose every place in Jamaica have music and have whatever they need. But they were very happy, even though if you looked at them, you knew that you would consider them poor.
Yes.
Well, you know, there's something to be said about poor and clean and smiling. I went one time, I was in a hotel, and a young lady took me up to where our parents lived in St. Anne. I've never been in the interior in St. Anne's Bay there, up in the hills. And what struck me right away was when the school let out, and we're not talking about wealthy people, we're talking about, well, you might say average people because it's country. And the children, it looked so prim and proper in their white tops and pleated blue skirts. I mean, these are maybe at least 100 children when school let out, you know, and they looked, it was such a beautiful sight way up in the hills. You know, this girl's parents both were teachers, and mm-hmm. one was a principal of a school. Up in, you never believe, so many children were up there in the hills, and so disciplined, you know. And
mm-hmm.
this wasn't so long ago, and these were maybe children of the age, I would say, maybe 9, 10 or so, you know.
Right.
But it was very impressive.
Well,
so,
I think one of the things to be said there is that the uniforms, you know, they're not competing with each other of who looks better and who has the latest fashion and all of that. So that helps self-esteem. You know what I mean?
Yes.
As you said, their parents or themselves make sure that uniform is pristine and crisp and looks good. Now, they're not competing with perhaps children in the school that whose parents might have more money that can buy them a better outfit. So that's one good thing that they have going. You know, they don't have to feel inferior. And it's a good thing. And the countries, I think, that, you know, had that leftover from the British days that kept it, I think it was a very good thing, as opposed to the here where they're trying to institute it in the public schools and running into a whole lot of issues, you know, where that is concerned. We're not going to discuss that this evening, but I'm just trying to give an example of how, you know, peace of mind and how self-esteem and feeling good about yourself,
well, as
start at a very early age.
As you're developing this line of, the children are really not happy when they can't buy a designer, or their parents can't buy a designer dress or whatever, or shoes to go with their outfit to school. I mean, and you're right about the uniform.
You're talking about in Jamaica?
No, I'm just saying.
Yeah. Countries, yeah.
Yeah, so the children started to develop a feeling of unhappiness straight off.
Right. And a lot of times it leads to them, you know, doing other things to acquire what they want, you know, or dropping out of school or whatever.
Or blame the parents for not being able to give them what they are looking for.
So I want to go back to something that Professor Nettleford shared with this Benevolent Missions of Atlanta, which is a charitable organization that is helping schools in Jamaica, the elementary school children. And what he talked about is parents, and I suppose Jamaican parents are becoming Americanized a bit, because he was talking about how in the old days, you know, when we were growing up, you more or less earned certain things, and you had things that you had to do, especially if you came from a poor family, especially in the country. You know, you had to help your parents in the field or whatever you had to do. He says parents now are tending to not to save the children from that, but he thinks that that is an error.
I remember.
Because, they should be taught that, you know, they need to participate in whatever their parents is involved in, because it gives them strength, even if they don't end up choosing that as a career, you know, because obviously they want to have a better education and pursue their dreams. But it really instills in them the value of doing something well.
Responsibility.
Right. Instead of doing nothing and being rewarded just because you are.
And the other aspect of paying the children to do what you're requesting them to do. That's
right.
Another thing that I saw.
Right.
Up here.
Yep. So I think that this feeling of well-being and happiness, you know, starts from the children, whether especially in some of these countries that are in the top 10. Because, do you know, Jamaica is the only country that's not a Latin American country.
I noticed the selection.
Was selected.
I noticed the selection. I wanted to ask you how regional this thing was, because most of the countries that you mentioned are Latin American.
Oh, well, 143 countries were part of the survey.
Oh, okay.
There were 143 countries.
And from a specific region? Or?
No, I mean all over the world. I mean
because
the United Kingdom, Germany, Italy, France, parts of Africa.
Really? Because it ended up that the top bunch are all in Latin America?
Uh-huh. Yeah, well, they're doing the least damage to the environment. They have people that are poor, but not at the poverty level of some countries, even rich countries. And, you know, their life expectancy was higher. Their birth weight was better. So there is a lot of factors that they used to make the decision. You know, it's not necessarily, as I say, the GPA. The GDP. So, but back to Jamaica, you know, to move up. That's what I want to really talk about. To move up from in the 50s to 3 is remarkable. So I am not sure if it's because things changed in the 4-year period that they took that survey. Does anybody have any thoughts on that?
Well, what is it the most recent 4-year period, like from now?
Yes, the most recent. In 2006, 7, 8, 9. I think the one was done in 2004, then published in 2006.
Okay, so it's quite recent.
This one was done in 2008 and then published in 2009. So my point is, it didn't give any details as to what made the difference in those years.
Well,
there were on the radar for the last one. It's not like they just came in. You know what I mean? They were in the 50s. They were 53.
Yeah, so they're doing something right in Jamaica in that regard, and, you know.
Yep.
Maybe they can use Jamaica and some of the, let's say, the top 10 in this group as models, even
mm-hmm.
though when compared to places like the larger countries, Italy and all of that, it might not be easy to model on a country like Jamaica, Costa Rica, or whatever.
Well, actually, they did not choose their... I didn't get the impression from reading how the whole index was put together that they chose because they're trying to make a point. They just used their statistics based on,
yeah.
you know, what was
and
surveyed.
Countries emerged from the statistics that they surveyed, yeah.
Right. So I don't know, it didn't mention that anybody, any other country made that big leap. You know what I mean? The last survey, the U.S. was way down there too. I don't know whether they didn't say whether they improved, but only 143 countries were surveyed, and the United States was 114th.
When you mention the United States, you know, the United States is one of the biggest polluters in the world.
Right. And not only polluting their country, they're polluting other people's country, too.
Yeah.
So that is it. And you would think that the life expectancy here, because of, you know, everything that we have, better hospitals, I mean, everything is supposed to be better here. You would think that the life expectancy here would be longer, but it isn't.
It's because, you know, the middle class, maybe not even the middle class, Madge, but the well-to-do, they will keep healthy because they can afford to.
Huh?
The poor people here, they are eating probably junk food just to stay alive.
Mm.
You know, the poverty here, in the United States, there's no way the poor people can eat healthy.
Right. And what I gather from this is that there are people in well-developed countries that are poorer than people in third-world countries.
And yet the people in third world, a poor person in third world country is probably healthier. Because
mm-hmm.
he's eating the fresh fish and the fruits and staples and grown provisions from the backyard.
Yeah.
Thank you. and not only that, I think in terms of just peace of mind or feeling good about yourself, there's a different barometer that a person here would use as opposed to, I suppose, somebody in Jamaica sleeping on the street, because we don't have winter, and I don't have to have people sleeping on the street there, but because we don't have winters and the weather is not, you know, as severe as it is here, the person here is a lot more at risk than a person there. So there are a lot of factors that would determine even how a person feel about being poor mentally. And we all know that, you know, your mind has a lot to do with your health.
Yes, absolutely.
So I want to, again, because the backyard here, oh, by the way, you're listening to Blog Talk Radio, and this is Backyard Labrish. And we're here each Wednesday at 8 o'clock. Backyard Labrish is dedicated to or developed to celebrate and retain the rich culture of Jamaica. So if any of our callers online, we have the board is all full, we'd like you to put up your hands by hitting 1 so you can join the conversation. If you're from Jamaica, you know that's what a Labrish is all about. Sometimes we all talk at the same time. And for the friends of Jamaica, foreigners who might not understand what a Labrish is, a Labrish is when we get together, we might select a subject, or sometimes we talk about a lot of things. And Jamaicans are known to talk sometimes over each other, all at the same time. So chime in here and let us know what you think. Tonight we're celebrating the fact that Jamaica was selected the third happiest nation on earth. And we moved from in the 50s of the last survey of this index that is a new index that was put together by a British company to measure how a nation of people, all over the world, you know, exist in where they live, how they certain things about their health and how they sustain themselves and what they're doing to the environment. So it's based on a lot of factors. So for Jamaica, even out of all the Caribbean, think about that. You know, Barbados and Trinidad and all of those places were surveyed too. So I think it is quite an honor to have this designation, and it goes along with the fact that we Jamaica is such a special place. They have enjoyed over 500 years of history where Jamaica has always contributed something to the rest of the world. Some example, some discovery, just always for the last 500 years. So I'm saying that to say that whether you plan to go back to Jamaica or not, if you are from Jamaica, I am sure you have fond memories, a lot of fond memories of growing up there, if you're a visitor, of visiting there. So at this time, I really would like to ask each and every one of you to remember the good times you had there and, you know, do something positive if you can, even in your thoughts, for the island, because like the rest of the world, it's going through a very turbulent time, and we can't just write it off. So whenever we find something to celebrate, please, if you find it first, send it to me, because I'm always wanting to celebrate. And the more things we find to celebrate about our culture, the island will continue to contribute to the world, because we are a very important part of the world. So with that said, I'd like to invite some of our callers on the board to put up their hands so that I can welcome you to the backyard. So until they do, Mr. Lay, do you have some input?
No, I have to switch phones.
Okay.
I'm going to come up on another phone.
All right. Now, is Paulette still with me?
Yes. Okay.
Okay.
I'm going to sign off to give somebody else a chance. But just one quick note, Madge. I know last week you had Rex Nettleford on the line.
Yes.
His mom passed away.
Yes, I mentioned it when we just started and really, talked about how she must have passed away very proud, because she knows that she has left a legacy in her son that will go on for generations to come.
Yes. Okay.
So I am sending my condolences on behalf of the fans of the backyard to the Honorable Rex Nettleford. I hope he will be, just take comfort in the fact that she was blessed to live so long.
Yes, yes. She
to see all that has been accomplished.
Yes, yes, indeed.
I feel very good about that.
Yes, well, it was nice being on, and I'll hear from you next week.
Yes, yes, and thank you for being a loyal fan.
Thank you so much for having me.
Okay, bye. And I'd like to invite our other callers. I see I have a lot of people from 31 area code. I gather that is in New York. Got a lot of New York fans. And 646. So if you'd like to put in your 2 cents, it's really more valuable than that. That's just a term I use. So make sure you hit 1 on your cell phone, on your telephone, so that I can see that you'd like to say hi to us here in the backyard. But we are here each week at 8 o'clock. And if you have, you know, something you'd like us to discuss, please, you know, we're here for positive things, so please let us know. And I see I have a raised hand at 646-479. The mic is open. This is Margaret. Welcome to the backyard. Who do I have?
No, this is Leigh again.
Yes, okay. So did you have something that you wanted to say? I see another 631-472. So we have a lot of callers from 631. So we need your input, so just raise your hands. If nothing else, say hi. And we hope you're enjoying the show tonight. We're celebrating number 3. It's like getting the bronze, right? Is the bronze for 3?
The Bronx is number 1.
No, not Bronx, the bronze in the Olympics.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you know, Costa Rica got the gold, and the Dominican Republic got the silver, and we got the bronze. You got it? And
yeah.
We're the only Caribbean country that got a medal. You know, in the top 10 of this happiness index, 9 were Latin American countries. Those Latinos know how to be happy.
Yeah.
So I suggest that the future generation learn Spanish. Make sure that Spanish is your second language.
Well, that is happening even here.
Right. It's very important. But you know, back to the Jamaican part of it. I really, really believe that we need to encourage as much as we can the next generation to continue what has been done for the last 500 years, regardless of what was going on the island, whether it was slavery and oppression and hard times and natural disasters. You know, we had so many natural disasters that we overcame. When I think about it, Leigh, I think I mentioned this on the show already, doing my little research, I found out that when my mother was born in 1912, there was a severe hurricane in the city of Savlamar where she was born, where big ships were up on the street and, you know, almost in people's houses. And I wondered how my grandmother managed during those times.
Well,
and
you know,
so the point I'm trying to make is that there's always been hard times.
Yeah.
And we've always overcome, and there's always been something positive coming out of the island in its people, in something that it did, or, you know, for the world, not just for the culture or the people. So I want to take this platform to encourage our listeners who might have young people of the younger generation, whether you are born in Jamaica or you're from Jamaican heritage somewhere, to really, we're passing the torch to you to continue this pride of accomplishment and to really be the best that you can of anything you do. Just do it to the best of your ability. And I think that is one of the professor's mantra. And that is why he's so passionate about organizations that are helping, especially the primary school age in Jamaica, you know, the children that are, because you got to get them when they're young. And I am an American citizen, and proudly so. But I do want to say that the U.S. is 114 in this happiness index, and Jamaica is number 3. So to all my listeners, spread the word. And you tell your offsprings or people you know with offsprings that they really need to take up the torch, overcome all their challenges, because if you have the will, there's a way. So no matter what is happening in their lives, they should take pride in what we have done as a nation in the past and go on with better things for the future. So with that said, unless some of my listeners want to tune in here, I know I have just monopolized the time because I am so excited. Anytime there's good news, I'm rejuvenated. And as I say, Leigh, this research that I do every week, to, you know, when I'm talking about a subject, you know, just put on some years on my life. So
well,
I love
you
it.
Know. Over time that we've spent going through the parishes and some of the history of Jamaica, it's very revealing, as you say, the resilience of the Jamaican people, because it wasn't clear to me until I started doing some of the research on the parishes and the looking into the history, how much devastation we had from hurricanes and earthquakes in the past that we really didn't know about.
Mm-hmm.
We know about the ones that we experienced or the later ones that were, but historically, you know, we didn't know about them.
Right. And I was so fascinated when we did the internal markets.
Yeah.
And how they were started and how they developed. And I just want to tell all our listeners on the board and listening online that any show that you want to listen to, they're all archived. And if you look to the left-hand side when you go to Blog Talk Radio, you will see them listed I think they're listed by dates. So you don't have to listen to all of them, but you can select one or two that you would like to listen. You can listen to all of them. We'd like you to do that. But you don't, even if you can't be with us online, with calling on a Wednesday at 8 or at any time during our broadcast, you can always go to the link. If you are on our list, you would have a link on the email I sent out. You can always go there and listen while you're doing your computer work, or, you know, if you have a laptop and it's in your kitchen, you can listen to the show. And we do ask you, if you go to, if you listen to a particular show and you consider it a favorite, there is a little thing there that you can tell us it's your favorite. Because Blog Talk takes into consideration what you think of the quality of a show. All of that give us some brownie points. So if you are enjoying your time here with us in the backyard, please let us know. And my email address is backyardlabrish@bellsouth.net. So if you'd like to send us a little note, and if you're not on our mailing list, then
what's your full name?
Beg your pardon?
What's your full name?
BACKYARDLABRISH at...
And there. You are, your name?
Oh, my name, I'm Margaret Marshall.
Okay.
And I'm coming to you from Atlanta, Georgia. And we have a lot of devastation in our city, but I'm fine. My area has been good. And I thank you for all your good thoughts. And for those of you coming on the call late, we also sent out our condolences to our guest of last week, who was the Honorable Rex Nettleford, who lost his mother this past week. We know she lived a long life, and I am very happy for her that she left the planet knowing that her legacy in the work that is being done by Rex Nettleford will live on for a long, long time. So we really applaud her for that, and we thank...
Sorry. From what I understand, the funeral services will be at a Baptist church in the Bronx. Yeah, people can look into that. I don't have the details, but that much I know.
Do you have her name? Because I did not get her name. I don't know if she, you know, she had the same last name.
No, too bad you didn't spoil it. I think she may have known.
Oh, my goodness. All right. Well,
I will call you personally.
Okay. I see. Any of our listeners can put up their hands if they can help me out here. You know, the Backyard Labrish is a casual platform. We are not here for any political reasons, right and wrong. As I said, we're here to celebrate and embrace and think of all the good times we had in Jamaica and to pass it on to the other generation. And another thing I'd like to ask our listeners to do is we have a website, which is www.backyardlabrish.com. And you can go there and leave us a comment. We have a community just like Facebook that you can become a member of. We hope to get that going, you know, much better than it is because I'm not a very techie person. So I really need a techie person to help me out here because for most of our listeners, you'll know that I'm a senior, and but I'm very fascinated by all of this technology. And one of the reasons I decided to use this platform, Blog Talk Radio, and the internet, the website, is because I think that as individuals, regardless of who you are, whether you have children or not, you are here on this planet, you are important, and you have a life story. And everybody should leave a footprint and leave their life story. So if you would like to make your life story private or public, you can go in the backyard and just do that. But I think that just talking about an event or something that happened in your life or contributing to some of the labrish we're having on a particular subject will be here forever for someone in your generation to find. So feel free to let your voice be heard. So my board is full, but I see no raised hands. But I do appreciate you being here with me, and I hope that as you get more comfortable sitting in your easy chair in the backyard, sipping your rum and Coca-Cola and pretending that you're under the palm tree or the coconut tree or the breadfruit tree or whatever tree was your favorite tree in Jamaica, you will be more relaxed, you will hold up your hand, and I'll know who you are. And the world will know who you are. You don't have to tell them anything private, but you can say to your grandchild, you want to hear my voice? Go check out Backyard Labrish. So with that said, Leigh, I think it's almost time to go. So do you have any parting words for a board full of listeners?
Well, do you have anything interested in mind for next week?
Well, if I'd like a suggestion, but I think I always come up with something interesting, don't you? But I need some help.
We'll work on that, yes.
Okay. Well, one thing the listeners know, that they will know by Monday what is coming up on Wednesday. So if you would like us to, you know, steer us in a particular direction, we're at your service. So do let us know. Remember, we're not into politics or religion, but we're into positive past or future or present happenings of the rich culture of Jamaica. As we say, Jamaica, land we love. So loving it, I'm going to be saying good night and make it a great week. We got the buns. Bye.
Bye. Bye.